Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the rich blessings that you've given us on this Sunday. We could come to church this morning and we see the sun shining through the frost on the trees. We see your beautiful handiwork in front of our eyes. We confess that you are our awesome, glorious, holy, and majestic God, that you have also become our Father in Jesus Christ. We praise and adore you for all your wondrous works, especially for your grace in our Savior, that in Christ we may draw near to you and that we can live closely with you, that Christ dwells in us and we in him, that we may know ourselves safe and secure in your care. For you are our loving shepherd. We're privileged to be your flock, redeemed by our Savior's blood. Father, we humble ourselves before you this morning. We confess that we are sinful people. If we look at our lives in this past week, we acknowledge that we have broken your commandments in attitude, in thought, in word, even in deed. We have not loved you with all our heart or our neighbor as ourselves. So often we push our own agendas, we do what we want. And even though you are Lord and King of all of life, there's times when we try to run our lives ourselves in our own way. And Father, when we do that, we make a mess of things. And so we plead on your mercy, on your compassion. We ask that you'll forgive us our sins for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ. Wash us clean in his blood. Give the assurance that in Jesus Christ we are pure, we are holy in your sight. Work in us by the Spirit, that more and more our hearts may be turned away from evil and toward you. Transform us, that more and more we may live our lives to your glory. Now, Father, we pray for your blessing on us as we worship this morning. Help us to understand your word as it's read and explained. Work it in our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that your word may comfort and encourage us in the struggles that we also face in this life. We pray for those who cannot be with us this morning due to age or infirmity. We pray for those who choose not to worship with us because of other reasons. Father, you know your children. You know our brothers and sisters. We pray you will minister to them also with your word and spirit on this day. And Father, that all together we may give praise and glory to your name. May your word motivate us to seek our life in Jesus Christ and to praise and glorify you for your goodness towards us. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. In our sermon this morning, we're going to focus on the account of when Jesus visited the home of Martha and Mary, and how Martha got distracted with much serving. That's from Luke 10. And in connection with that, I would like to read with you from Revelation 2. We're going to read from Revelation 2, the first seven verses in your pew Bibles. That's page 1407. Revelation 2, beginning at verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The text for this morning's sermon is Luke 10, not Matthew, but Luke 10, the verses 38 to 42, page 1196 in your Bibles. Now it happened as they went that he, the Lord Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we lead busy lives. There's a lot of competing demands on our time. Most of us have a full-time job, whether that be in paid employment or raising children and running a household. Besides our work commitments, many of us are in a situation where family members need us. As they're growing up, children need their parents. And when they get older, parents need their children. Besides this, we're committed to attending church. And many of us have commitments in the church and school communities that include serving on consistory, on other committees, or volunteering our time in a variety of different ways. And so life can be hectic. At times we need time to wind down. We do that in different ways. Spending time with the family, reading, or playing sports. Yet if we're anything like most Canadians, we will spend a considerable amount of time watching TV, on the internet, or our cell phone. Many people log into their social media sites daily, if not multiple times each day. Screen time is way up over the past 10 years, both among children and adults. Many Canadians report spending between 6 and 8 hours daily on their various devices. Now, there's nothing wrong with working hard. And it's also beneficial for us to be able to rest and to enjoy ourselves. Yet as a society, we are becoming more and more self-indulgent. We spend time on ourselves, for ourselves. And we're not always good at devoting time to the most important things in life. Brothers and sisters, are you investing in your relationship with the Lord? Do you attend the church services faithfully? Do you read your Bible regularly? How much time do you devote to learning to know God better? To having prayerful communion with Him? It seems like we continue to face struggles in this. There are many who do not begin the day with God. Little or no time is taken in the busyness of the morning rush to read or pray. We easily go into the day without having heard from God or without praying for His blessing over that day. With busy schedules, dads coming home from work late, kids involved in sports and leisure activities, we also don't always make time for family devotions. We get busy with so many things that the most important things often get neglected. Our text this morning deals with these things. Jesus continued his travels toward Jerusalem and he came to a village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary was also there. Both sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. Yet Martha was also host, and all the preparations that had to be made distracted her. She was frustrated that her sister Mary didn't help her, but continued to sit and listen to Jesus. Yet when she complained to Jesus and asked him to tell Mary to help her, Jesus refused. Jesus told Martha that Mary had chosen what is better and that it would not be taken from her. This passage is instructive for how we are to strive to manage our time in a God-pleasing way. I preach you the gospel under the following theme. The Lord Jesus teaches us not to let worldly concerns rob us of the opportunity to listen and learn from Him. We'll see how the Lord does not admonish Martha for her acts of service, and how the Lord commends Mary for listening and learning from Him. Anytime our text is read and discussed, it provokes strong reactions. Especially our women find this text difficult to understand and to apply to their lives. At some level, we all relate to Martha. Martha was a doer. When Jesus and likely at least some of his disciples came to the village where she lived, she invited them into her home. We know from Jesus' instructions to the 12 and later to the 70 that when they came to a city or town and received an invitation to stay with someone, they were to remain there during their time in that place. This placed a considerable burden on the host, who would need to provide food and prepare beds for guests to sleep in at night. Martha was gracious in offering hospitality. In the ancient Near East, showing hospitality is one of the most important things you could do. In showing hospitality to strangers, Abraham and Lot entertained angels without realizing that they were doing so. Hospitality is commanded in Scripture. In Romans 12, Paul tells us to share with God's people who are in need and to practice hospitality. In 1 Peter 4, Peter says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." So Martha did right in welcoming Jesus into her home. We need to remember why Jesus was traveling and where he was going. From Luke 9, verse 51, we learned that the time had drawn near for Jesus to be taken up into heaven. As a result, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew he was going to suffer and die. Yet because he had come to redeem us from our sins by dying for us on the cross, Jesus was committed to the task that lay before him. Because the time was short, Jesus had sent out first the 12 disciples and then the 70. Two by two, they went ahead of Jesus as he traveled toward Jerusalem. Christ gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out evil spirits. These signs were a confirmation of the message that the disciples spoke. They served as heralds of the Christ, telling the people that the kingdom of God had come near. So we see that Jesus and his disciples were on a mission to prepare the people for the coming of God's kingdom. So it's not surprising that when Jesus enters Martha's house, he continued his teaching. Our text says that Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Mary's not the only one sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him. Our text says that Martha had a sister called Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Both Martha and Mary, and likely also the others in the house with them, were sitting at Jesus' feet. They were listening to what he said. But there's a difference between the two sisters. Mary sat with undivided attention, captured by what Jesus was saying. It was customary in the Middle East for students to sit at the feet of their teacher. And so Mary sat at the feet of the great teacher, Jesus Christ. She was eager to learn from him. His teaching captivated her. Her attention was focused solely on Jesus. Martha, however, was different. Although she too sat at Jesus' feet and was listening to him, her attention was sidetracked. Our text says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. The word distracted literally means to be pulled, to be drawn away. Martha's mind had trouble focusing on Jesus' teaching. She had guests in her home. She needed to care for them. Preparing food in those days was different from today, where we can buy lots of prepared food. If Martha wanted to serve her guests bread, she would have to bake it. If she wanted to serve meat, she would have to slaughter a lamb or goat or perhaps a few chickens. Martha's attention is pulled away to the practical matters of being a good host. Was Martha wrong in wanting to be a good host? Certainly not. Does the Lord Jesus admonish her for her acts of service? He does not. The point of our text is not that it's wrong to provide hospitality or to show love and care for others by serving them. Scripture teaches the opposite. We're called to serve one another. Jesus taught this lesson to his disciples when he, their master, washed his disciples' feet. He told them, I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Jesus told them, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Too many times when we look at this story, we view Martha as being bad and Mary as being good. We need to know that Jesus did not condemn Martha for her serving or for being such a good hostess. The problem with Martha was not that she was hospitable or that she loved and served her guests. Our text goes on to show what the real issue was. Being distracted with much serving, Martha approaches Jesus and says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. We need to note a few things here. Martha was distracted with much serving. She was not just providing a meal for her guests. She was going above and beyond the call of duty. Note also that Martha says that Mary has left her to serve alone. In other words, Mary had been busy preparing and providing food for their guests too. She had been helping Martha to provide hospitality. A time had come when both Martha and Mary had sat down to listen to Jesus' teaching. During that time, Martha was distracted by thoughts of what she still needed to do, while Mary was focused on learning from Jesus. This becomes clear in Jesus' response to Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things." Now, you know, kids, that if your parents say your name more than once, that's usually not a good thing. Usually it means you've done something wrong. They want to get your attention. And so it was with Martha. Jesus calls out her name twice to get her attention. And then he gently admonishes her. Martha's problem is that she is anxious and troubled about many things. She has let the cares and concerns of being a good host overwhelm her. Her worries and concerns have distracted her from Jesus' teaching. Martha's problem is not an uncommon one. It's something most of us struggle with. There's times when life gets busy. Our mind gets focused on all that needs to get done. We get distracted by the cares of this life. When things don't go how we want or expect them to, we get anxious. Life's troubles can then overwhelm us. Men often struggle with that in connection with their work. We can obsess about problems at work. At times we find it hard to shut down work's pressures. Women more often stress about family life and kids. We can at times feel overwhelmed because we feel like we're not doing a good enough job raising our children. Students can stress about doing well in their courses or about what they should do when they're finished high school. Just like it was not wrong for Martha to provide hospitality for her guests, so it's also not wrong for us to be busy with the task God has given us to do. We are called to work hard, not as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ. We have responsibility to provide for our families and to give to those in need. It's important for our family relationships to flourish, for us as parents to raise our children to love and serve God. Students do need to develop and use their talents to the best of their ability. But being anxious, being troubled about these things, that's not right. Stressing and obsessing about the cares and concerns of this life, it ultimately shows forth a lack of trust in the Lord. In Philippians 4, Paul instructs us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Beloved, when we're anxious about things, we need to learn to hand them over to the Lord. We need to learn that our care and labor cannot do us any good without God's blessing. We need to trust God truly does love us. He will keep His promise to provide us with everything we need for body and soul. Then instead of being worried and concerned about the cares of this life, God's peace will fill our hearts. Then we may rest secure in Him. This brings us to our second point. And we'll see how the Lord commends Mary for listening and learning from Him. In our text, we see that Jesus answers Martha's question in a way that she did not expect. She wanted Jesus to use His authority to tell that slack sister of hers to get up and help her serve. Instead, the Lord had admonished her for being anxious and troubled about many things. Jesus concluded his answer to Martha saying, "But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." What is the one necessary thing Mary has chosen? Mary chose to sit at the Lord's feet, to listen to his teaching. Within a day or two, Jesus would have to move on to the next town or village. He was traveling to Jerusalem, where he would have to suffer and die. Mary realized her time with the Master was short. She chose to spend the time with Jesus, to listen and learn from him. Jesus commends Mary for this. He says that she has chosen the good portion. Martha was distracted with much serving. She became anxious and worried about it. Her focus was on feeding her guests a sumptuous meal and making sure they were comfortable. But to what end? In a short time, Jesus would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He would be beaten and ultimately hung from a cross. The time was coming soon when Jesus would pass from this world into the next. How important really is good food and a comfortable bed when that's the future that faces you? Mary has chosen a much better option. She chose to sit and listen to Jesus, to learn to know her Savior, to better understand the kingdom he was speaking about. Soon Jesus would be leaving, but his words would remain. They would be lodged in Mary's heart. She would have time to ponder and reflect on his teaching. We know that on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was sharing the good news of salvation with people. His words were important. They were life-giving for anyone who received them in faith. Thus, instead of reprimanding Mary, Jesus commends her. Instead of telling her to go help her sister, Jesus allows her to continue to listen and learn from him. So what does this mean for us? How can we apply this passage to our daily lives? Like Mary, we need to make the conscious choice to listen and learn from Christ. Our lives are often busy. They're filled with many important things. Often there's so much to do and not enough time to do it in. We have our daily responsibilities, doing our work, caring for children, studying, whatever it is God has given us to do. There's chores to do. There's laundry to wash. There's meals to cook. Kids need to be dropped off and picked up again. At the end of a busy day, we want some time to relax. And so we often spend time behind some screen being entertained. Yet, beloved, in all the hustle and bustle of life, do you take time to listen and learn from Christ? Is the Bible an open book in your home? Do you take time to read God's Word before you start your work day? Do you regularly have family devotions? And if you do, what does that consist of? Is it just Dad reading some passages at the dinner table while most of the family has their minds on other things? Do you ever talk about what you're reading? About how it relates to your lives? Or are there more important things that we need to get to? There's lots of things in life we consider important. a fulfilling job, a new car, an immaculate house, a booming business, a handsome boyfriend or beautiful girlfriend, high grades, a winning sports season, etc. But beloved, are these things more important than listening to and learning from Jesus? Are any of these things more important than partaking in the riches of salvation? Remember the question Jesus asked in Luke 9, verse 25. He asked, "For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits his soul?" In connection with this, it's helpful to consider the words Jesus spoke to the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. Jesus commended this church for its hard work. Evidently, this was an active church busy in the service of God and their fellow man. The members of Ephesus were involved in all kinds of activities. The communion of saints would have functioned well. They were active in spreading the gospel to those in their local community, as well as throughout the province of Asia. They were busy, focused on Christ's kingdom work. But at the same time, Christ had something serious against this church. He says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." Then Christ issues a call saying, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." The church at Ephesus was still doing all the right things. But there was a crack in this church's armor. They had lost their first love. Their zeal for the Lord had slackened. While they might still be doing many right things, they were doing them out of duty rather than from love. Jesus said that unless they repented, their lampstand would be taken away. Their very existence was thus threatened by their lack of love. Beloved, I want you to think about that first love that a boy and girl experience for one another. All they want to do is to be together, to share together, to get to know each other better. Everything else in life comes second. That's the kind of love that Ephesus had for Christ. They gloried in God's grace in choosing them from out of their sins and misery, in making them alive in Christ. In Ephesians 1:15, Paul commends them for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for their love for the saints. But this love had died down. Their early devotion to Christ had cooled. How's that with you, brothers and sisters, young people and children? Do you love the Lord Jesus? And if so, how does that show in your life? Do you like to spend time with the Lord? Do you rejoice in worshiping Him and take every opportunity to gather and worship on Sundays? Do you make time personally to read your Bible and to pray to God? You ever listen to sermons online? Do you read Christian books or magazines? What are you doing to grow in your relationship with the Lord? Or are you too busy for that? It's true that there are times and seasons in life when we can be really busy. Busy with many good things. But often being busy is just an excuse. For most of us, if we devoted half of our screen time to listening and learning from Jesus, our spiritual diet would be very rich indeed. By being busy with God's word, we would come to know him so much better. Our faith and trust in the Lord would be immeasurably strengthened. Time with God would help us not to get anxious and stressed about life. We'd be drawn into a deeper love relationship with the Lord Jesus. We'd be better equipped to serve him in all of life. If we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we're often poor stewards of the time that the Lord has given us. Many of us don't manage our time all that well. But time is a gift from God. Every day, every hour we receive comes from his fatherly hand. Too often we're preoccupied with the less important things of life. Too often we use our time selfishly to indulge our pleasure or to be entertained. We need to repent. We need to return to our first love, to devote ourselves to our Savior, to love him as he first loved us. Beloved, the story of Martha and Mary is not about how bad Martha was or how good Mary was. Both were women who loved the Lord Jesus dearly. Both served him. Both sat at his feet and learned from him. Both were women of faith. This becomes evident later. We read in John 11 about how Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus died. It's striking to see Martha's response when she heard that Jesus had finally come. Martha left behind a house full of guests to go and meet with Jesus. Martha spoke with Jesus about how he could have prevented her brother's death. When asked if she believed that he was the resurrection and the life, Martha confessed, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And how about Mary? Sitting at Jesus' feet, she learned something that most of Jesus' followers missed. Mary understood that Jesus was going to suffer and die. John 12 teaches us that about a week before his death, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Lazarus and his sisters gave a dinner for him there. Mary took a pound of expensive ointment. She anointed Jesus with it. It was a sign of her intense love and devotion to her Savior. In anointing Jesus with sweet perfume, she was preparing his body for burial. Martha and Mary were among the first disciples to believe the gospel. Mary understood that Jesus needed to die even before his crucifixion. Martha believed in the power of the resurrection. They understood and believed these things because they had both learned to do the one thing that is necessary: to listen to Jesus with a full attention of a loving heart. Sort out your lives, beloved. Make time to listen and learn from Jesus. Be drawn into a deep love relationship with your Savior, that you too may share in his saving grace. Amen.